You are now listening to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. And welcome to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. As always, I am your host, Daniel Lee, or Photos by DLEE. So the topic, more main topic of this week, will be on photography events and, you know, everything about sort of attending them, if they're worth attending or not, what the benefits, what the negative sort of aspects of attending them are, which I will go into my main topic after we get through some news. And first off, what I have been up to. So in terms of my personal updates, now uni's for me back sort of underway, so haven't really been studying that much as usual, but that has to change because stuff is already starting to be due. This, you know, will be my last year, one of my last two semesters, so really need to sort of focus and just finally finish this. In terms of personal updates, we've had like pretty much rain almost every day. Last weekend was really good weather, like clear skies would have been really nice for sunset, but I was so busy on both days, I didn't actually have the time to be able to go out and shoot, so that was a bit disappointing. I have been shooting a lot more still life, so I'll be updating that on my personal blog in a few weeks' time. I've also got a new softbox with a honeycomb grid. So for those that don't know, the honeycomb grid can help really direct the light in sort of a more straight linear pattern rather than spilling everywhere. So when doing product shots, it really can help, as you know, you can really focus that light on the subject. So if you have some different lighting on your background, such as, for example, a gel, it won't interfere with that and spill over and sort of wash it out. Now, onto our news. I don't, you know, won't spend too much time on this. I feel like everyone else has their own preferable source of photography news updates. But the first sort of and major big news that just got revealed yesterday as of recording is that Canon have announced the R5 will have full 8K with no crop in movie mode, and it also will have autofocus as well. So many of the criticisms or speculations said that, you know, it won't have full frame video, there'll be a heavy crop, it won't be autofocus, it'll be all these sort of negatives to it. But turns out all those speculations were wrong. They also did mention that it'll have advanced animal AF, so it should have IAF, and it has body tracking as well if the face or the eyes aren't available. So for wildlife photographers, this will be like a very, very big thing. And what I would really like to know now as well, if it can do 8K full frame with no crop with AF, to me that means the processor should be powerful enough to actually be able to hit that full continuous AF at 20 FPS and not be like locked AF, locked exposure. It might actually be able to update. That will be, I think, the more interesting thing for me as a stills only shooter, but I guess we won't have that much longer to wait to find out. It does depend if there is a delay in the production, like everyone's sort of saying, due to coronavirus. And speaking of delays, that was just more the other general update. We're seeing delays nonstop. Like, there was a report that Canon are only at 25% of production on the R5 due to the delays caused by coronavirus. We've seen the NAB show, which is more video orientated, if I'm correct, and also some photography expos in the UK cancelled. This isn't just the photography industry though. Like, for example, in gaming terms, I think it was CES, or not, maybe not CES, was cancelled, and they have already cancelled E3 and gonna make it more of like a Nintendo Direct Live kind of thing. So across all, you know, industries, this is affecting everyone. It would be interesting if they did something like E3 or just doing it fully online for Photokina if it does get cancelled, because that's coming up in May. That hasn't been cancelled officially yet from what I remember, but considering everything else is being cancelled, I would be surprised if it doesn't get cancelled. And because of all these cancellations, not much more news has come out, so that's going to be it for us this week in terms of news. We're just going to go straight onto our main topic. So as mentioned earlier, the main topic for this week is attending photography events. Now, depending on where you live, there may be different types of photography events. Here, honestly, I never actually really attended any when I was shooting Canon. I know Canon Australia do hold these kind of events. Back when I was in Perth, I remember seeing a few where they had learned to shoot wildlife, like reptiles, like snakes and that kind of stuff. It's usually not in the city kind of area for those kind of ones. They're usually further out at the wildlife kind of areas. But One thing I have noticed with ones here in Soane, in Sydney anyway, they're often held during the middle of the day on weekdays as well. So pretty much anyone that works full time, like myself, you know, like your normal 9-to-5 job, can never attend. This one, which I'll talk about soon, that I attended, did happen at 4 p.m. on a Friday. I managed to get off work a few hours early, thanks to my annual leave, and went to attend. So in terms of photography events, what a thing is, you know, if you don't know what a photography event is, often they're held to like teach and educate. You'll get some that want to show off new products and have special discounts. They have a set, like a retail store there sponsoring it that will actually host those sales. Others, you might be a bit more educational where you get to learn something. Like they do photo portrait photo walks where they hire a model and walk around. You portrait and take photos of the model, and some seasoned expert there would be able to give you tips and teach you how to do that. There's ones for beginners that just simply teach you how to use your camera from outside of auto. It really depends what you're into and what you do want to learn from photography, or what do you want to, what experience you want from the event. I notice most events are usually either landscape, like urban landscape, or portrait orientated. I haven't really seen any still life or product photography ones. I think they would be really, for me, would be fun to attend. Like, for example, if I was to host one, I'd have, you know, several different product photography setups. You know, say we're going to photograph a shiny object or something not shiny, like a shoe, sneaker, and have full setups on how we set up the lighting, set up the background, set up everything. You do the shot, teach everyone how to light it, how to do everything, and the next you can actually sit down, you know, with your Lightroom or whatever projected onto a large screen and edit and show them start to finish, like how to do it. That to me would be like really good. That's an event I'd definitely attend. I'd even take the day off work if I had to attend. But for some reason, even with competitions, I notice here, with still life never really gets a category. Product photography never really gets a category, which I'm not too sure. When I did inquire with one competition why still life didn't have a genre, they did tell me it's more based on like interest of the customers or consumer interests, and not many people had requested that. That's why they didn't include it, but they, you know, consider it for future competitions. So that's something interesting to know. Now, when it comes to events that I've attended, so as mentioned before, I never really attended them when I shot Canon. I only started when I actually moved to Sydney and started shooting Sony. The first event I went to was called An Evening at the Museum with Mark Gaylor. Now, that was like sort of an introductory to the A7 Mark III and about like how to use it, the features of this camera, why it's better than the competitors, that kind of stuff. Now, this was a pretty good event. Like, I didn't go there pretty much to learn about the camera. I already knew about the camera. I already owned it. Wasn't interested in buying another one. My main benefit to this was at most of these events, they actually have all Sony Alpha lenses, so you can actually try them on with their bodies as well and get like an idea of how they work and, you know, really play with them. So if you did want to buy it, you do have that hands-on experience. This is like a really great opportunity too for people who do live in Australia, because as mentioned many times, we don't have a great rental option. So if we do want to try it, we either have to find a store that lets you try it before you buy it. You know, even then it's not as sort of hands-on as this. Or you have to hope you have a friend that owns the lens will let you borrow it for the day so that you can try it. Now, this event, the presentation-wise, I didn't really learn anything new or anything that interesting. The main benefit for me for that presentation was getting to try out the new gear. I do make a new friend there named Adam. It's funny because I attended in February of 2019. That's where we met. And we've been chatting on and off throughout the whole year. And then we actually met each other again yesterday at the bird event because I saw that event come up. I let him know. He ended up buying tickets as well. So we got to hang out again, see each other again. So that is one benefit. That's another benefit. You get to meet new people, make new friends. You know, everyone there has that common interest of photography. Getting to try the lens is always a really great part too. Like, I had never tried something like a 51-4 before. I did try the 85 1.4GM as well. Tried the 35-1.4 back then. Tried the 24GM, and that's when I first, you know, fell in love with it. But that event was sort of, it was good, but it was more for me about the actual hands-on experience with the camera gear. Yesterday, I actually attended another event from Sony Australia. This one was a bird photography event where you got to try the 200-600 and all their other lenses with their A7R Mark IV as well as the A9 II. This one I probably enjoyed more. So it started off with a presentation on why Sony cameras are so much better and, you know, why they've got the most advanced stuff, blah, blah, blah. But afterwards, you know, we get to book out our gear of what we're going to use. No, you know, the event was only like, I think, $35, so pretty reasonable. I was shooting at first with an A9II and the 200 to 600. Man, that lens is heavy. Like, I could notice my arms getting more tired the longer I held it, but it's really, really fun to use. Not something I would use for my usual type of shooting, but if I, you know, could, I wouldn't mind owning one. Now, one thing I thought was really funny. So you have these guys that are like the technical experts, they're trainers, photography trainers there, but a lot of them seem to not sort of, they're overselling it. Like, I hate when people try to sell me stuff, especially if they're trying to oversell something. So they were showing us how good the tracking works, for example, with body in the lens. And they're like, watch this tracking mode. And they're trying to track this guy's face. And then it kept jumping to the background. And they could tell them they started to get nervous because it wasn't doing what they wanted them to do it. So, and you know, any example videos they were showing us, it was just sort of like a bird flying across a plain blue sky. Now, because the bird was black, sky's blue, obviously it's easier for it to track. If you really want to show off how well your body can track something, which the A9II can track really, really well, and saying that you'd want to do it in a busy scene, having it stick to one person with other people walking past behind them and show that it actually can track that one object really well. To me, that would say, yes, it can track 100% better than anything, but they don't do that. They pick the easiest scenarios to show it off. And don't be wrong, don't get me wrong, lots of brands do this, not just Sony, but it's just more like some people are impressed by that, I'm not. So then eventually we went out to Centennial Park here in Sydney, where we got to walk around, find wildlife and take photos. I got quite a few decent shots. I used mostly the 200 to 600 and I swapped to the 135 GM. That lens was really, really fun to use. You know, most people consider it to be a big and heavy lens, but after using the 200 to 600 for like an hour, that lens felt like really light and actually quite pleasing afterwards. I am more of a prime person myself too, so, you know, I've always wanted to buy that 135 GM. Admittedly, I'd love to buy it, but I just don't think I could get the use out of it that, you know, a lens like that could justify the cost of. Now, I got to shoot quite a wide variety of stuff while there. I shot some photos of some birds, which, you know, one was sort of sitting on a branch in a tree, which was quite nice, or a few were. I got to do a few portraits because they had a model there, and also just candid shots of the other photographers and some flowers, nature, that kind of stuff, which I will be uploading to my personal blog and I will link in the show notes if you do want to see. Now, this was pretty fun. It went for like an hour and a half. It was like up until sunset, so it would have been kind of nice if we did get there a bit later, like at sunset. But in saying that, lenses like the 200 to 600, they do need a lot of light, so I don't know how it would work. What I had in mind for the event was completely different as well as to what it actually was. So I seen a review of the Canon 1DX Mark III, and what they went to some sort of like, I don't know where it's a bird sanctuary kind of thing, but they had these sort of rooms or houses and it had curtains, and then the end of the lens was just sticking out. And then that's how they were taking the photos of all the birds, and they had all the perches there for birds to fly and sit on and that. And that's how they did their bird photography in that test. So I was kind of in my mind expecting something like that and was super excited and hyped for that. And of course, when we get there, it wasn't quite that. It was just us walking around the park, but it was still enjoyable. Got to meet quite a few new people, new photographers and that, talk gear, which is always fun. So in closing, when it comes to photography events, this topic anyway, when it comes to the benefits, you get to meet new people, which is, you know, never a bad thing. You do get to try new gear depending on the event that you choose to go to. And, you know, the cost of them is quite low. Usually, like this one was $40, and they did drive you there and back, provide you with water, that kind of thing. It really comes down to, you know, if you want to pay to do this sort of stuff, if you do like those sort of social gatherings, or you're more the kind of lone wolf that rather just go out and shoot for yourself. There is that educational aspect, which some people can really benefit from. I think if you're a more advanced shooter, you'd go more just for the social aspect as well as, you know, getting to try the other gear. There's not really any downsides I can think of. You know, there is a cost to it and time as well. You know, for example, I had to take time off work just to attend, as well as it did cost me money to go and attend, but it was a small amount for the amount you get to do and the amount you get to try. So for me, it was quite a good thing. If you do have photography events near you, I could definitely recommend visiting them. You know, whatever brand you shoot, most brands do hold stuff. It just depends whether those type of events do interest you. Even if you feel like you may know everything they cover, you never know, you may learn something new that you didn't actually know about. Or you, like I said, you may just get to try a camera that you've always wanted to, or lens or that you've always wanted to own, and realize you may not like it, or you really like it and it helps you make that purchase. So before we end the episode, I'll just say I am working on quite a lot of reviews. And when I say working, I mean I have the draft written, but just been a bit lazy to write more. I was going to do my Sony FE35 F1.8 review next, but I feel like I need more time to take more images and use it really more, because if I was to write a review right now, in all honesty, I don't like it as much as my 35mm F2IS, but I haven't used it as much as that lens too, because in recent years I've been more leaning towards like the 85 and that, and still life, so that does have sort of a factor to play in it. And now getting the 24GM as well, I'll be using that a lot. I was meant to be having a trip to Japan in the next few weeks, but with the travel restrictions, I think that may be cancelled, so that'll affect how many photos I'm able to take with that as well. But more than likely, my next review will be the 85 F1.8, purely because that's a lens I've been using a lot more recently while trying to decide if I want to upgrade it or not. And also, I've had it for nearly 2 years as of May, so that, you know, I got a lot of decent photos with that over those years, so there's a bit better quality, and I would always rather include more better quality images to actually show what the lens can do rather than just like chuck out any kind of boring images just to show, you know, very basically what the quality is like. So in summary, you know, if you have a photography event, definitely go visit it, and I'm sure that you'll have fun.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, and our social links will be posted in the show notes.